Welcome to the morning devotions with Rosebank Union Church. Good morning. Again, my name is Gerard Venter, and I'm the pastor of discipleship and training at Rosebank Union Church. Today, I want to share with you the third in our series around the church. For the past 2 weeks, we've talked about the church's role in serving the community. That was the first week. And last week, we looked at the church's responsibility in serving God or worshiping God. Today, we're going to look at the church's role in serving the needs of the individual person. In other words, how does the church actually serve my needs as an individual person? As we begin, we'd like to invite us to listen to Casting Crown as they sing If We Need You Now from their album Until the Whole World Hears.
Lord, we pray, our faces down, our hands are raised. You called us out, we turned away, we've turned away. With shipwrecked faith, the idols rise.
Ask you the question, in fact, the question that I ask myself regularly, what is the church about? Well, for the two past weeks, we've looked at the church's role in serving the community. What is a church about? The church is there to serve the community. But also, we answered the question differently last week by looking at the church's role in serving God. And today, I want to look at the fact that one of the purposes of the church is to serve me as an individual, or to serve individuals, to serve families, and also other communities. In the song by Casting Crown just now, there was a need that they express, a prayer to God, to let the church arise. And I believe that the church has a role to play in serving my needs and the needs of every other individual in our community. In the Bible, we learn quite a bit about ourselves as individuals. We learn more about who we are and what our needs are. So let me just highlight a few, and I'll list them by way of facts. Fact number one is that every person, including myself, including you and I, was created by God and created in His image. Our purpose in this life is to reflect the glory of God. In Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, we read that God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. So we learn very clearly that we have been created in the image of God. But there's also fact number two, and that is that we have sinned against God, and we deserve to be punished by Him. Genesis 3, the very next chapter after the creation story, tells us how our forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned against God, resulting in what Paul had to say about this in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and further. And I'll just read this extract. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And whereas God created us to reflect His glory, our sin prevents us from doing that to the full extent. And that leads us to fact number three, and that is that Jesus Christ died in order to bring us into a right relationship with God. As Paul says in the very next part of that section that we read in Romans 3, that those who have sinned, and this is what he says, are justified freely by His grace, God's grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So, by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't only have forgiveness of sins, but we can experience peace with God through Christ and thereby find our true fulfillment in life. Again, Paul states it like this in Romans chapter 5 in the first couple of verses of that chapter. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And that fact leads us to fact number four. God does not save us and then leave us to ourselves. Actually, God becomes my Father. He becomes our Father. Jesus even taught us to pray, "Our Father." The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Galatians 4. He says, "When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons or children of God. Because you are sons, because you are children of God, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" In other words, I have a very intimate relationship with God. I become His child and He becomes my Father. And I have this relationship with Him through the Spirit who works in my life and through the death of Jesus Christ. Because God is my Father, He wants me to be part of His family here on earth. I mean, we never will leave our children to their own or to themselves. We don't chuck them away in a field or leave them to grow by themselves. We adopt them into our families and we become fathers and mothers, parents to them, so that we can help them. And God is no different. God wants us to belong to His family. And this is really where the church comes in, and this leads us to fact number five. We will only really be able to live the Christian life if we are in community with other Christians, if we join the church of Jesus Christ. The New Testament contains many, many references to how the early Christians lived in community and shared their lives with each other. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 just give us a brief summary of that. It says that the church or the Christians in Jerusalem devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And so the togetherness is something that is provided to me, for me, as I become a Christian and as I join the rest of the family of God. It's the church that provides me with a family of brothers and sisters, mentors, leaders, fellow Christians who journey with me in this life. And allow me to impact their lives just as they impact my life. And this is no different from a normal family where we grow up together. Well, is everything honky-dory? Does everything go well in a normal family? Well, actually, not really. We all face many, many different challenges in our families. But we are there for one another. We are there to step in, to help my brother, to help my sister. And they are there to help me when I am weak. So in the church, I have a home to come to when I'm weak, and when I'm strong. I have others who rejoice with me when something good happens to me. I have others who weep with me when things do not go well in my life. I can share my ups and downs with fellow Christians. When I'm in need, my Christian brothers and sisters are there to support me. The church supports me in my need to get to know God better. We are on this journey together to know our Father better. The church and its people help me along the journey of life, for better or for worse, to quote the famous wedding vows that we so often use. The church is by no means perfect, though. Only God is perfect. However, as we journey with fellow Christians together through this life, with all of its questions and all of the issues that we face daily, we grow in our understanding of what it means to be children of God. Now, as I conclude, practically speaking, I want to just give you a few ideas of how this can happen. And I'll use Rosebank Union Church as an example because this is the church where I come from. But any church and every church should function like this, or should have on offer, if you wish, to you as an individual, to me as an individual, some of the things that we talk about, such as worship services on a Sunday. At Rosebank, we meet 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and again 6:30 in the evening. It's a time of celebration, of worship, of connecting to God, to connect to one another, and also to listen to God. A church also offers family ministry. During the morning services, for example, at Rosebank Union, we offer services to children and teenagers where they can learn more about God and journey together in their age groups. There are small groups that meet during the week. They provide us with a place to connect with other people in a smaller, more intimate environment where we can share our joys and sorrows, where we help one another, where we together seek the Lord's guidance for our lives. And then, of course, there are practical courses. At Rosebank, we offer the Alpha course for people who want to know more about Christianity. We offer divorce recovery for people who have experienced separation and divorce. Courses for the unemployed, or support groups for the unemployed. Marriage courses, premarital counseling. There's an endless list of different things that are offered, all designed to assist people with specific needs in their lives. And then we have pastoral care for people who end up in hospital or who go through a time of difficulty. Counseling for people who face personal issues, and they come to our counseling center where trained counselors walk them through the way to face these issues with the help of God. So I want to invite you, if you have a need or you need more information, please feel free to contact our church office at the telephone number 011-784-6214. Or please visit our website where you can download sermons on iPod and many other resources that will help you in your time of need. The website is rosebankunion.org, rosebankunion.org. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to listen to Casting Crown again as they sing Glorious Day, expressing our longing to be with our Lord in heaven one day. But in the meantime, we are committed to travel with you on this journey of life. Father, I want to thank you that we can call you Father. Thank you that Jesus died to make it possible for us. And thank you that you care enough for us to add us to the church of Jesus Christ. Bless us today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he judged. One day they
die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. The hands that heal nations stretched out on